Prabhu. Seeking the mercy of the Vaishnavas, my senior devotees gathered here, and all the devotees. I will try to speak something from my limited knowledge. Of course, no matter how much you know, it is only one drop in the ocean of Lord Chaitanya's transcendental pastimes. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, the author Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami constantly makes this point that it is not possible to get to the bottom of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes with his associates. Their relationships are like a deep ocean. You cannot understand the bottom. Today we're going to be speaking about things that Kaviraj Das Goswami says are indescribable or intolerable to describe. Either there are no words to describe these things, or the pain is so great in trying to describe these things. In one sense, what we are going to describe is certainly another miracle. Yesterday, you heard so much about the miracle of Srila Haridas Thakur. Lord Chaitanya is described to be like an expert painter, an artist who knows how to display the qualities of his devotees for the right reason at the right time. You heard yesterday so wonderfully how Haridas Thakur, although born in a Yavana family, became the Acharya of the Holy Name. Lord Chaitanya also made Sanatan Goswami, who is described as almost a Muslim. Again, almost a Muslim. Lord Chaitanya made Rupa Goswami the expert in the loving pastimes and rasas of Vrindavan. And then Ramananda Roy, externally a grihastha and of a Sudra family, Lord Chaitanya had him speak the most confidential truths of rasa, not only to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, but also to Pradyumna Misra. Pradyumna Misra, high-class brahmana. He went to Lord Chaitanya and said, "Please, let me hear talks of Krishna." And Lord Chaitanya said, "I don't know anything about Krishna. I recommend you go see Ramananda Roy." In this way, Lord Chaitanya demonstrated his complete independence in revealing knowledge of Krishna. And he also humbled all those who are attached to their birthright, who are attached to their material distinction as first-class brahmana, first-class sannyasi. Lord Chaitanya made the greatest miracles appear through persons whose social standing was considered to be contemptible. Yavanas, almost Yavanas by association, no high-class Brahminical standard in terms of birth. Yet Lord Chaitanya plunged all the devotees in an ocean of transcendental love because the devotees get to hear such extraordinary nectar coming through the mouths of persons who are materially considered inferior. Kaviraj Goswami's conclusion is, the Lord does this for his own personal profit. He has his own reasons. One of them, obviously, is to humiliate those who are attached to their material background, their material learning, their family prestige. Today we're going to speak of another miracle. Although my mind is still absorbed in the miracles that we heard yesterday. Haridas Thakur. Coming from such a low birth. And what did Lord Chaitanya tell him? At every moment you're visiting all the places of holy pilgrimage. At every moment you're constantly studying all the Vedas. At every moment you're performing great sacrifices and austerities. Why? Because from your tongue comes the holy name of Krishna. So yesterday we were put into an extraordinary concentration of meditation on the holy name, thanks to Srila Radhanath Maharaj and Srila Sachinandana Maharaj. Today I shall try, in a very faulty way, to describe the miracle of Prema Vivarta. Apparent mistakes caused by the most intense love. Also, I shall attempt to describe fear of separation from Lord Chaitanya. These will be powerful motivating factors in trying to describe just a little of Gadadhar Pandit, his relationship with Lord Chaitanya. First, let us meditate on Sri Gaur Hari. Gaura Megha, the cloud, the rain cloud known as Lord Chaitanya. Today, in the morning at least, there were dark rain clouds in the sky. Normally, dark rain clouds make you think of Lord Shyam Sundar. So today we want to also think of rain clouds, but these rain clouds are golden. Gaura Megha. The rain cloud of Lord Chaitanya distributes the rain of his mercy. How? By his glance. Alokanamrita, the nectar of his glance, rains down upon Gaudadesh, which is like a garden. And the devotees are like plants and creepers, a fire burning in the Bhavagni, the blazing fire of material existence. But just by the soothing nectarian glance, Alokanamrita, from the Gaura Megha, from the rain cloud of known as Gaur, they become revitalized. Who could tolerate separation from Lord Chaitanya? When you're a fire ablaze, how can you tolerate separation from the extinguishing rain cloud of mercy? You can't conceive of such a thing. But there's two types of blazing fires. There's the Bhavagni, and there is the Premagni. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, you get to experience both. You get to experience relief from both, and you get to taste the intensity of both. In the pastime we shall describe with Gadadhar Pandit. You will see fear of the Prem Agni, the blazing fire of separation. It motivated the associates of Lord Chaitanya to do extraordinary things out of this fear of impending separation. Why? Because Lord Chaitanya wanted to go to Vrindavan. He wanted to leave Jagannath Puri and go to Vrindavan. The first ones to feel this fear of impending separation were Ramananda Roy and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Lord Chaitanya presented to them, "I want to go. If it's all right with you." We see the loving reciprocation between the Lord and his devotees. He's the independent Supreme Personality of Godhead, yet he's asking the devotees, "Please allow me to go to Vrindavan." Now, externally, Ramananda Roy and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, they'd agreed, but internally, they were afraid of the impending separation. So they made all kinds of excuses. Now it's Rath Yatra. "My Lord, if you kindly wait until Kartik, then it will be a good time to go to Vrindavan." Kartik came. "My Lord, it's too cold. You please wait till Dol Yatra." In this way, for a few years, they run under Roy and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya successfully impeded Lord Chaitanya from leaving Jagannath Puri to go to Vrindavan. King Pratiparudra was also aware of the impending departure of Lord Chaitanya. He had asked Ramananda Roy, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, "Do something to keep him here. Otherwise, my whole kingdom is useless if Gaurhari departs." So one impediment after another was lovingly put in the path of Lord Chaitanya. Just see how the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes under the control of his devotees. You remember from the first canto how the Lord wanted to depart Hastinapur for Dwarka, and Yudhisthira stopped him. "My dear Lord, please stay just a few days longer." In Chaitanya Lila, you now hear an even more intimate situation of the devotees predominating upon the Supreme Lord. But after many months of such tricks, Lord Chaitanya told his devotees, "I understand what you have been doing, but I really wish to go to Vrindavan. And on the way to Vrindavan, there are two shelters I have there, my mother Sachimata and the Ganga. I want to take shelter of them, and then I'll go to Vrindavan. Please allow that." Try to understand the fear of the devotees, the impending separation. Lord Chaitanya began to depart. So many devotees were accompanying him. Only the chief devotees are described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, but the whole assembly that was accompanying Lord Chaitanya as he was leaving Jagannath Puri. Kaviraj Goswami says, all the names can't be listed. Today we'll speak particularly about Gadadhar Pandit's reaction to Lord Chaitanya's departing. Gadadhar Pandit sought to accompany Lord Chaitanya, but Lord Chaitanya reminded him, "How can you leave Jagannath Puri you have two vows, very solemn, both of them. First of all, you have taken the vow of Kshetra Sannyas. You have vowed to perform Vanaprastha within Jagannath Puri and not go outside. How can you come with me? Secondly, you have a vow to serve the Gopinath deity. For that reason also, you cannot accompany me. You cannot leave your service to the deity. And what was Gadadhar Pandit's reaction? Now try to understand. Normally, Gadadhar Pandit is so submissive, so fearful of in any way causing a stern reaction from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's famous for that. Yet, in this inconceivable situation of Lord Chaitanya departing Jagannath Puri, Gadadhar Pandit manifested transcendental feistiness. Very, very special situation. In fact, Kaviraj Goswami tells us it's impossible for ordinary devotees to understand this. Only the most confidential devotees can actually grasp Gadadhar Pandit's behavior as Lord Chaitanya was about to depart. So Gadadhar Pandit told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "You're talking about my Kshetra Sannyas vow? My vow to stay in Jagannath Puri? The hell with it. Wherever you are, that is Jagannath Puri. If I go with you, wherever you go, I'll be with Jagannath Puri. The hell with my Kshetra Sannyas vow." It's very extraordinarily serious. Then, what about the vow to serve Gopinath? Gadadhar Pandit had this very solemn vow to always render service to the Gopinath deity. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pointed that out, what was Gadadhar Pandit's response? "I serve Gopinath millions of times just by seeing your lotus feet." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, "Look, by your thinking of breaking these vows, I'll get all the blame. Please consider. I'll be the one who's known as the guilty one, allowing you to toss these vows away." And what did Gadadhar Pandit reply? "Don't worry, I will not travel with your party. We just happen to be going to the same place. I'll just happen to show up at Sachimata's house. But I'm doing my own thing. I'm on my independent course of action. You will not get the blame. I am the one who is traveling in the same direction it happens to be, but otherwise I'm just doing my own thing, and you will not get any of the blame in this way." So Gadadhar Pandit did exactly that. He began to travel alone, although it happened to be in the direction, going in the same direction as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Finally, Lord Chaitanya, in so many words, said, "Enough of this ruse. Come, Gadadhar Pandit, join our party." Then the journey got to a point where, once again, Lord Chaitanya wanted to point out to Gadadhar Pandit what he was doing. You see, these are dealings of the topmost love, and you have to appreciate the strength of the vows Gadadhar Pandit took, as well as the strength of the love in his relationship with Lord Chaitanya. You have to keep both things in mind, and then you can see the extraordinary nature of the situation. This is the situation that Kaviraj Goswami calls the Prem Vivarta. Apparent wrongdoings because of overpowering transcendental love. Such things cannot be understood on the platform of ordinary religiosity. Such things can only be truly understood by the most confidential devotees. We're just touching the surface of this ocean that has no depth. So Lord Chaitanya was actually pleased internally by Gadadhar Pandit's reaction, but externally he stood up for the principles of religion. He said, Gadadhar Pandit, in other words, things have gone far enough. You have thrown away your vow of service to the Gopinath deity like straw. Your desire to come with me is just a desire for sense gratification. If you at all want to make me happy, go back. If you say anything else about this, you'll bring condemnation upon me. At that point, Lord Chaitanya left Gadadhar Pandit, who collapsed unconscious on the ground. Lord Chaitanya had Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya tend to Gadadhar Pandit as Lord Chaitanya departed. What did Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya say to Gadadhar Pandit as he tried to comfort him? He said, "This is the way of Leela. In mundane life, in material existence, someone would say, that's life, that's the way it is. But here you have the closest associates of Lord Chaitanya. And what is their transcendental equivalent? This is the Leela. This is the way the Leela happens." But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was also as grief-stricken. Lord Chaitanya went on. He still had other associates with him, including Ramananda Roy. He passed days and nights discussing Krishna with Ramananda Roy. And then he got to a point where he was going to say goodbye to Ramananda Roy. When he did that, Ramananda Roy collapsed on the ground. This time, Lord Chaitanya picked up Ramananda Roy, put him on his lap, and began to cry. And he, again, Lord Chaitanya moved on. Kaviraj Goswami says that it is not possible to describe the feelings of separation felt by both Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Roy, because it's intolerable. This is the fire of separation from the Lord. The transcendental pain in discussing those things is so intense for the most elevated devotees that Kaviraj Goswami says, it's intolerable. I can't write about it. But there is one mystery that I would like your help in understanding. Lord Chaitanya went ahead and he wanted to cross the river, but on the other side of the river, the territory was ruled by a drunkard Muslim governor who was very degraded. So Lord Chaitanya's party poised on the other side of the river while one of his associates, a government official, Mahapatra, thought to come up with a plan how to appease the drunken governor on the other side. Meanwhile, that drunken governor had sent a spy to see what was going on. That spy went back to the drunken Muslim governor and reported, "Everywhere I see Hindus rolling on the ground, shivering in ecstasy, chanting the holy name of Krishna. They've become mad. They come from all over. Night and day they're chanting like this." And then the Muslim spy began to also chant, "Krishna, Krishna," in ecstasy. The Muslim governor then sent his secretary to talk with Lord Chaitanya's party. The secretary presented the plan, but before he could present the plan, he was overwhelmed with ecstatic love in the association of Lord Chaitanya. He said, "Please, the Muslim governor would like to see you. He doesn't come to fight. Please grant him darshan." Lord Chaitanya agreed. But like every preacher, Lord Chaitanya had his managers around him. The Mahapatra, very shrewd, said, "Yes, he can come, but make sure no weapons and only four persons can accompany him." In this way, Lord Chaitanya is showing that along with the mercy, there's also management. It's like at this yatra, we can see there's so much mercy being given, but it's also so well managed. The management stays in the background, and everything happens so nicely. That's Srila Prabhupada's wish. He said, "Management follows preaching like a shadow." If there's no preaching, what's the point of management? But where there is preaching, the management is there like a shadow to organize everything. So the Mahapatra was doing this with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was profusely merciful. "Yes, yes, he may come." And then the Mahapatra, "Yeah, he can come, but no weapons." Only four or five persons accompanying him. Taking care of all the practical details like that. So the secretary went back and informed the governor. And the governor then came to see Lord Chaitanya, dressed as a Hindu. From afar, just by looking at Lord Chaitanya, he became filled with ecstatic love. And then he presented himself to Lord Chaitanya in the most humble, pitiful way. "Why did I take such a low birth? Why was I born in such abominable circumstances? Let me just give up my body right now. Because of my birth, I cannot properly execute religious principles." He begged for Lord Chaitanya's mercy in such a pitiful, humble way. The Mahapatra, the Orissan governmental assistant of Lord Chaitanya, couldn't believe it. This man, he's a drunkard. He's a debauch. He's completely corrupt. But look at him now. He's a complete different person. This can only be because of the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya gave the Muslim governor a glance of mercy. Alokanamrita, the nectarian glance of mercy. Raining down, extinguishing the bhavagni, the burning fire of material existence. Assured that he had the consent of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Muslim governor began to chant, "Krishna, Krishna." And then, even feeling even more assurance, he requested, "Please give me some service." Showing that he's indeed properly chanting Hare Krishna. He's looking, where is devotional service? So, once again, the Mahapatra intervened with the list of devotional service. "Service you want? Here's something that needs to be done. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu needs to cross the river. Please arrange that he can do that in complete safety." The Muslim governor very happily arranged for Lord Chaitanya's crossing the river in safe circumstances. There were many pirates patrolling that area, but The Muslim governor had soldiers guarding Lord Chaitanya. But then it was also time for Lord Chaitanya to take leave of the Muslim governor, the ex-drunkard and debauch who had now so wonderfully arranged for Lord Chaitanya's journey across the river. He had Lord Chaitanya's personal association. But now it's time for Gaur Hari to continue onward to Navadvip. He left the Muslim governor. Now what I would like your help in understanding is that Kaviraj Goswami says, it is impossible to describe the ecstatic symptoms of love and separation felt by this Muslim governor. Now, I can understand that it's indescribable, the feelings of separation, Gadadhar Pandit, the feelings of separation of Ramananda Roy. But who is this Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that a former drunkard, corrupt, debauched Muslim governor now is feeling ecstatic symptoms of love and separation that Kaviraj Goswami says, I can't describe it. What is going on here? So you know how Lord Chaitanya actually didn't make it to Vrindavan. He met up with Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, and Ram Kali. He met up with Raghunath Das and gave him advice how to situate himself at home without causing a disturbance and to wait for the right time when Krishna would indicate he could join, Raghunath Das could join the Transil party of Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya saw his mother. He saw the devotees in Navadvip. And he turned back. Sanatan had told him something, that actually it's not very good to go to Vrindavan surrounded by such a huge throng of persons. Lord Chaitanya later considered that point and decided to return to Jagannath Puri and redo his attempt to go to Vrindavan with at most one person. So Lord Chaitanya returned. Naturally, all the devotees in Jagannath Puri were so happy. And as Lord Chaitanya met them all upon his return, what did he say was the reason he came back? He said, I wanted to go to Vrindavan, but because Gadadhar Pandit was unhappy, I returned. I was not able to go. Gadadhar Pandit was overwhelmed with transcendental ecstasy to hear this. And he fell at Lord, clasping Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet. He said, wherever you go, that is Vrindavan, that is the river Yamuna, that is the river Ganga. This was confirmed by Lord Chaitanya himself during Rath Yatra, when he described his own consciousness. Muramana Vrindavana. My mind is Vrindavan. In my mind, the pastimes of Radha and Krishna are constantly going on. So Gadadhar Pandit was certainly right to say that wherever Lord Chaitanya goes, that is Vrindavan. It is easiest and most most expedient to approach Vrindavan and Radha Krishna Leela through Lord Chaitanya and his associates. In one purport where Srila Prabhupada is describing Gadadhar Pandit's statement to Lord Chaitanya, wherever you are, that is Vrindavan, that's the river Yamuna, that's the river Ganga. Srila Prabhupada makes a very pointed statement. He writes that in Vrindavan, the devotees, the Brijabasis, are attached to Radha Krishna Leela. Normally, he said, it is very difficult. Although they're attached to Radha Krishna Leela, it is very difficult to enter within Radha Krishna Leela. But if you go through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if you seek to enter Radha Krishna Leela through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then the path is much more clear. O Gadadhar Pandit told Lord Chaitanya, you are independent. In other words, who are we that you ask us for permission to return to Vrindavan or to go back to make another attempt to go to Vrindavan? Who are you? But if we can say something, let us say this. Now the rainy season has begun. You please stay 4 months in Jagannath Puri and then go to Vrindavan. And all the Vaishnavs agreed. Gadadhar Pandit has presented our feelings. So Lord Chaitanya accepted that. And then Gadadhar Pandit requested Lord Chaitanya, you please come to my house for lunch. Now, you're thinking, maybe, everyone was always inviting Lord Chaitanya to lunch. So many of his intimate associates, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Dvaitacharya, Raghunath Das. What is special about this lunch invitation that Gadadhar Pandit extended? Kaviraj Goswami says this. He says, it is impossible for a human being to describe Gadadhar Pandit's offering of lunch to Lord Chaitanya and Lord Chaitanya's tasting that lunch. It is impossible for a human being to describe. These are the kind of realities that we are dealing with. So in this way, please meditate on these special miracles of loving exchanges with Lord Chaitanya. There are different kinds of duties. There is dharma karma, the activities of religion, as ordinarily known. Lord Chaitanya's associates would constantly neglect dharma karma for the service of the Lord or for association with the Lord. Lord Chaitanya didn't mind that. But then there is bhakta dharma, the duties of a devotee in devotional service. Lord Chaitanya did not like when these activities were neglected. And therefore, even in spite of feeling impending separation from Gadadhar Pandit when Lord Chaitanya left Jagannath Puri to attempt to go to Vrindavan, he still told Gadadhar Pandit, stop, don't say anything more, you must retrieve your vows of Chaitra Sannyas and service to the Gopinath deity. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya explained Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's feelings. He said, Gadadhar Pandit, try to understand. This is the same thing that Krishna went through because of Bhishmadev making a promise. Krishna had promised he will not fight. Bhishmadev had promised, I'll put such pressure on to kill Arjuna that either Krishna breaks his promise or Arjuna dies. That is my own promise. So, everyone knows, of course, how Krishna discarded his own promise to uphold Bhishmadev's promise. In other words, the Lord tolerated breaking his own promise to support the promise of the devotee. Now, why did Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya bring that example up in relation to Gadadhar Pandit? What was the Lord tolerating in terms of Gadadhar Pandit? He was tolerating his own love and feelings of separation. Still, in order to preserve Gadadhar Pandit's promises, in spite of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's feelings of separation, he upheld Gadadhar Pandit's promise of Chaitra Sannyasin's service to the Gopinath deity. Even Lord Chaitanya did this at the cost of his own feelings of attachment for Gadadhar Pandit. Just as Krishna, at the cost of his own promise, upheld Bhishma Dev's promise. These dealings are very confidential. It's not possible to understand from the ordinary viewpoint of Dharma. These are the dealings of the highest love, prema vivarta. Apparent mistakes, apparent misdoings because of the flow of pure love of God. As we are gathered at this place saturated with memories of Gadadhar Pandit, what can we do as tiny devotees of Lord Chaitanya? We can be thankful that the Lord, through his devotees, in his relationships, has shown the highest levels of loving reciprocation, the highest levels of loving ties. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has shown us how to deal with the Bhavagni, the blazing fire of material existence, and he's also presented the Premagni, the flames, the fire of pure love of God. Through Kaviraja Goswami, you can see the fear of separation felt by devotees like Ramananda Roy, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. You see the actual tidal wave, tsunami of separation hit Gadadhar Pandit, hit Ramananda Roy, and then hit a former drunkard, debauched Muslim governor. These pastimes are impossible for a mundane scholar to understand. They are impossible for someone who is simply aware of ordinary dharma. Such a person cannot understand these things. But because we are hearing of Lord Chaitanya and his associates through disciplic succession, we get to relish one drop of the ocean of loving affairs between Lord Chaitanya and his devotees. Thank you very much.